Brethren, let's open the service with the use of 356.
You know, for those who have a red book, it's 363.
I'm sorry. I'm told that for those who have a red book, it's 363. 363. As great is thy faithfulness. In the blue book, 356. Rob? To ask Brother Brad Bach if he would ask the Lord to bless our next service. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we approach thee, Father, once again to thank you for the rich blessings of being able to draw together, to rely on the promises that wherever two or three may be gathered, that you would be in the midst of us. We thank you for the presentations thus far this day. They've been encouraging, they've been helpful, and we thank the brethren for the preparation. We thank you, Father, for drawing us together and providing this setting for us. And we ask you to continue to guide and direct and be with us and bless us as we now share of our testimonies, of our experiences, and that we might share the blessings that you've shown us in throughout life. And we ask you to continue to guide and direct and be with us, and ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Brethren, this is the time for testimony, and we've asked Brother John Harris if he would lead our testimony meeting. He graciously agreed. So we'll be pleased to turn this over to Brother Harris.
Well, dear brethren, one of the things that I wanted to open up with is reminded today was with a statement that Brother Nakora taught me, and I'm sure that many of you have heard it. On the fields of hesitation are bleached the bones of countless millions. When on the road to sure victory, sat down to rest, and there died. That statement has stuck with me from the first moment I heard it, and I think it has set the tone for who I am. So I am very thankful for Brother Nakora for giving me those words to think about, even though he doesn't know the origin of those words. But it also brings me to remind of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So dear friends, as we think about the events in our lives that we want to share, the song, the words of Brother Nakora, and this verse, I think, should ring hopefully loud and clear through your mind, is each of the testimonies that you give adds to the structure of the faith of others that will hear it. I learned many, many, many things in the testimony meetings on the cassettes and now the discs that the brethren share all over the world. When I was first starting in my walk, I didn't really understand testimony meetings. It didn't seem like it was part of something I really wanted to really focus on, but the more I grew, the more I realized that that was one of the greatest parts to the every joint that supplieth that God gives us. So just keep that in mind. And with that, I'd like to know who would like to be first. Sister Ruth?
Brother Gray's prayer was a good lead-in when he said we're two or three are gathered. It's obvious why he said it, but it's all David kept saying all day yesterday was if we get 20, I'll be happy, you know, the first day because of other commitments. And the Lord put the frosting on the cake because there's 21. And I look around the room, and it just makes me smile to see the faces of brethren that I don't normally see and the effort they made to get here. And I know that Hicks left at 5 a.m. That's rough. And all the services today, if I had to check a column, I'd go right down the heading that said excellent. I mean, every service was very special. And I especially like trio, because we don't hear them very often, and just their inflections and their delivery, I think was very enjoyable.
Well, I would agree with you, sister, and this is the first study weekend I've ever attended most. It's different than a convention. It's a little less formal, but at the same time has a similar feel to it. So I'm thankful for all the brethren's words as well of encouragement and how they taught the lessons with, I think, succinct points. So, Brother David?
Brother John, dear brethren, it's interesting to me that we are meeting here kind of in the aftermath of the two losses. Now, Brother Michael, of course, we've talked about. And, you know, when I asked for a picture of Brother Michael, I asked Brother Mark Allard because he's so good at, you know, retaining those things. And he mentioned, Michael is a little camera shy. I'll see what I've got. And so he sent me two images. But I realized that was kind of Michael consistent. He didn't want attention focused on himself, either photographs or a memorial service even. And but still, I do think it's good to stop and remember and kind of digest the life that has passed and the benefit that we can accrue from from thinking about the example of that person. Now, for the other person that we're missing, of course, is somebody who's been declining in recent years, and therefore it doesn't seem like a, you know, such a crisp loss. But that's Sister Esther Hall. Now, Sister Esther, of course, I've known since I can remember knowing anybody. I remember her husband, Brother John Hall. And I remember, surprisingly, how he died relatively early. But I still remember him serving the San Diego conventions in many years. And I remember his just approach. I can even remember some of the quips he made in talks, you know, that lodged in me just as a young boy. And I remember especially, he came down to San Diego once to serve the friends here. And we had a brother in our midst that was very strongly of certain of doctrinal opinions. And Brother John Ho gave a talk on a subject that I knew this brother would not agree with. And I was so interested to see afterwards, this brother says, "Well, that was interesting. I got to rethink my position." And I thought, boy, that was a persuasive lesson, apparently. And so thinking about Brother John and all of his work is brought to mind by thinking about Sister Esther, his longtime widow, because she died so many years after him. But Sister Esther herself was a person who had a streak of independence and thought in her. Now, we didn't see it in the latter years as she was waning. But I remember once when I was I was involved with the International Convention, and I made a reservation for her sister. And her sister, Sister Betty, was always at the conventions, and Sister Hull, even without her husband, was always at conventions. Just would always be there. So I made a reservation for her, thinking that, you know, we have to take care of her. Sister Hull called and says, "Don't worry, I'm taking care of that." But her mind was so crisp, so sharp, she was so attentive to details, and she worked, you know, quite a long time, much longer than most people would at her employment. So I just appreciate thinking about her. And even though the loss didn't seem so sudden as it did with Brother Michael, who was just vibrant, active, serving, like he died with his boots on. You know, not literally, but that's the way I envision it. And I never would have dreamed a year ago that we would be without him, even though I might have dreamed a year ago we would be without her. But that's why we're missing some LA brethren, because they were at her service. I understood it closed at 1 o'clock, that's what Jim told me, and that they maybe they would be coming in any moment, we see. But they should be here before the day's over. So I do appreciate reflecting upon things, lives that are well lived and devoted and past. And it does have a sanctifying influence, certainly upon me, and I trust on all of us.
I think that Brother David is touching on something I think is very important. When we remember each other, and dear friends, I know how we can struggle with memory, because I do. I have to work at my memory. But we can be thankful that God never forgets any of us, not even the smallest, littlest details of any part of us that makes us who we are. So when we have the ones that have gone before us, and we have those that bring to remembrance who they were. Now, I never met Brother John, but Sister Esther is a sweet, sweet sister that I truly love and will miss until, you know, the day that hopefully I'll get to see her again.
Brother John, can we get a clarification? Didn't Sister Esther die a few months ago, but you said that, because I saw it on Old Ron that she passed away.
The first time that I knew of her passing was about a week ago. And
Robert Wagner put it on Old Rhonda. I think it was several months ago. I'm almost sure about that.
I know it wasn't several months ago, and I tell you how I know. I know because I talked to her daughter, Ruth, and her daughter, Ruth, in a conversation that wasn't too private, wasn't too public, but it was clear she was still attending to her mother and wanting to place her in an appropriate care facility. So while we haven't seen her now, there was somebody that died months ago, and that was Sister Esther Hull's son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, David died too. But
David, you even distinguished
him. Yeah, I remember
him.
David.
Okay. But I know that Esther was living, as of my conversation with Ruth just a couple of weeks ago. And I heard that she died just about a week or two ago. something like that. So I'm interested in your engagement.
I'm going to check my old emails because I don't remember that. Sorry.
But when we remember those that we've had fond memories of and experiences with, we keep them alive. And when we tell the stories of brethren, whether it be, you know, speakers or whether it be faithful sisters that were, you know, prayer warriors, you know, those things are very, very important to the structure of our faith, to remember those that have went before us. The Apostle Paul did it many times and remember this person, that person, and so forth for all they've done and within the churches. And so it's vital that we continue that even today. There was a picture put up of Brother Nakora by the Indian Brethren on Facebook, which I appreciated to see. It was when he was there working with some of the elders, setting up some of the ecclesias there and helping them. And so that was a wonderful picture to see. Sister back here in the...
If I could clarify for Sister Esther Hall, she passed on Monday, the 21st of November. That was her passing. The other elders in the Los Angeles class have been Larry Davis, and that was in May of this year, of 2011. And then last year, I think he was in May. And then last May of 2010 was Sister Vanetta Simon. And of course, Esther Hall's son, and I believe his son's wife, right on the heels of that, within a few days of his passing. So that clarifies. The only other thing I wanted to say was I want to thank the San Diego Brethren for putting on this conference. I really appreciate it. I know they've gone to extremes to pull it all together and to make it possible for us in such short notice. And I appreciate that, and I think the accommodations are have been well taken care of, and they've done a great job. So I just want to pass it on to the brethren.
Thank you, Sister. And appreciate the clarification and also the thankfulness for the opportunity that has been afforded us to come to gather together. So, Brother.
Brother Bernard Hicks from the San Francisco Ecclesia. I just want to bring the love of our class, Brother Mark, Sister Elaine, Brother Chad, Sister Audrey, Sister Lynn, my wife. Did I miss anybody? And Sister Pat, who is a new member of our class, that comes with us now. And we also have Donna, another sister that's joined our class. So. Yeah, so I just want to bring their love. Also, Brother Charles, Sister Elaine Redeker, per conference phone. Also, I want to make sure that I extend their love. I just want to share something about Brother Nakora. Very fond of Brother Nakora. Number one, he was the one, when I symbolized my consecration, he did the baptismal discourse, and he came up from Los Angeles, and his wife, and that was a really nice service. I have very good fond memories of him coming to the LA class and hearing his talks and his speeches, his talks, and how he was just like a great guy and very hard worker, very diligent in what he did. He was very faithful. He was one of my examples. I can tell you, I definitely, when I needed something, I'd call or email him, and he would have it, you know, and he's definitely going to be missed. My other testimony is just my personal, is that I just want to give thanks. For the San Diego class for putting this on. This is really special. I always enjoy the Bible studies because everybody gets involved, you know, and it kind of opens things up and gives a little harmony, a little peace amongst the brethren that everybody can hear their thoughts. And so I just want to thank the San Diego brethren for putting it on, and I want to definitely give thanks to our loving and kind Heavenly Father, you know, for that great plan, you know, and that what drew me to the truth was when I was searching find something what was going on in my life and in the world, and that when I heard the word, God has a plan and everybody's in it, well, then I had an ear to hear. And that's what called me to the truth. You know, I wanted to know about that. When I heard that, my ears were just, well, I was just so elated to know that God has something for everyone, you know, and that every individual that ever lived and that dies is going to have an opportunity to live forever. And I thought how loving and just that was. And I want to leave it with that because it's such a precious thing. Thank you.
Thank you too, brother. And I believe that we would all bring the same sentiments of thankfulness, that we can understand God's plan and that we have an ear to hear that plan, and hopefully He strengthens our tongues to preach that plan. Brother?
Yes, I just want to give credit to Stu. If you turn your programs over to the backside, when you look at them down a little bit more than halfway, it says sponsorship. And it says this convention conference is sponsored by an ad hoc committee of elders from Southern California Ecclesias, Brothers Rick Evans, Lee Hicks, Jim Parkinson, and David Rice. And that's what the credit is doing.
Without leadership, the structure of any organization would fall apart. God has set up a leadership structure, which we have in the Scriptures, and which we can be thankful for. When it comes down to the bottom line, though, each individual is responsible for their own actions. So whether or not we're led or we follow, let's hope we don't get out of the way.
Brother John and dear brother, Brother John Humphreys from the Southwest Battlestones Ecclesia in Phoenix, Arizona. Privileged to be amongst you. I bring the love of my wife, Sister Melanie, and the first time my little daughter, I have a little daughter now, will be 1 year and 6 months old on December the 7th, next week or the following week. And so my dad, Brother Ken, brought her love for the first time to San Luis Obispo, so this will be her second time ever to at a convention to have her love brought, a little bitty, kind of like a blonde, strawberry blonde-colored hair little girl. And so I'm thankful about that. In the Beatitude study, I was thinking to bring this up, but the time was short. We were talking about, you know, some of the qualities, and then this is a phenomenal little paragraph from Rebirth 15:60, verse 2. I'll just read a few sentences if I may.
Please do.
The psalmist says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Psalms 145, verse 9. This sweeping statement takes in the utmost bounds of the material universe, and also the humblest as well as the most exalted being. The whole creation is His care. So it's interesting, when I pick this up, I'm thinking, when I've read this before, the Lord is good to all. So here's how my mind is translating that. The Heavenly Father is good to the righteous, the just, as well as the unjust. And you think, well, how is He good to the unjust? Well, because He is going to direct them, and He is not going to force anyone that opposes Him against their own will. So no matter how you look at it from any facet, He is going to remain good. He is going to help you if you want to be helped. If you don't want to be helped, He won't force you against your own decision-making. So it's really quite powerful. So I appreciate that, and thankful to be here. And happy to see you all. Happy to see Brother John, each one of you all. And I send my Father to direct each one of you. And hopefully we'll see some of the other ones that are on the program that we haven't seen yet, that maybe they'll still be coming. So.
Thank you, Brother Sean. You bring up some very important lessons that there are many brethren in the world still struggling with, and some that come out of other systems that haven't fully grasped the concept of free will and volition, and how, you know, predestination and all those points fall into play. So when you mention verses such as you did with the care of the Father over all the material creation, and drawing the minds of individuals to the responsibility that our wills need to line up with God's will, whether we're running for the prize of the high calling or whether you're in the gospel age, you know, trying to attain life there as well. It's the same. It's the same. Whether we do it now or later. Thank you, Brother Sean.
Brother Lee Hicks from sentiments of this boy Fleischer. I'd like to give my Heavenly Father all praises for the living time of my life and some remarks to be among you this afternoon, perhaps tomorrow or so. One of the things that I'm very pleased that we're having a weekend study here in San Diego. You know, I just was just thrilled when Brother David asked me about this. And it seemed like it was an infancy, a very infancy at the time for me. Just something that's going to happen, but really, maybe it wasn't going to happen. But as progress continued, lo, here we are. And I'm so thrilled. But first, I would like to extend the love and greeting from the brethren in Ghana, West Africa. As most of you know, we and my wife and the Montagues travel each year to Ghana, West Africa to encourage the brethren over there. As Brother David was saying, I read the email that he sent me on the progress in Uganda and Kenya. The truth is going forward. But it was not without difficulties. Even in Ghana, there are difficulties with the brethren trying to maintain and be faithful in the truth. And they need the brethren in America encouragement. Without that, they would just fall away. So it's very important that if you know someone there, as Brother John was telling me about the brother in India, they are very appreciative for our encouragement. And also, coming in the 9th of February 2012, I and my wife will be traveling again, once again, to Ghana, West Africa. I don't know how long this is going to last. As you know, I've heard already that I'm talking about the age, so I don't need to say anything about that. But as long as the Lord provides enough strength, we will go. And I ask the answer to your prayers that as we continue to pray with you. I'm also, very familiar with Sister Esther Hall and her sister, Sister Betty Young. Very, very wonderful sister. I didn't know her husband, but I know that the Lord was pleased with their earthly walk, and a lot of brethren was encouraged by their faithfulness. So, brethren, let's keep up the faith. And I appreciate all of the wonderful discourses and panel, not the panel, but the symposium that we've had today. And hopefully we can match the same thing tomorrow.
Thank you, brother. It's very true that we here in America may experience what others in their perspectives may seem an easier life. I wouldn't say that's totally true because we have many, many pitfalls and dangers here. But as for those who have traveled abroad to help encourage the brethren, they need it. They need it desperately. Not only for their internal workings of faith, but for the structural workings of faith around them. And the Satan system is the same in all of the world. There's traps, whether they be fleshly or of any other nature, that would cause our brethren to not make their calling and election sure, and we have to be there. And be strong. And Brother Hicks, I hope that the Lord will sustain your strength, that you may be an ambassador for the brethren there and for many years to come.
Brother John and dear friends, Christine Humphreys from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm very happy to be here, and I appreciate the speakers on the program thus far and the messages, and it's wonderful to be here. I just wanted to do a postscript on Brother Michael also. He and I were from the original class in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was he left out and moved to, he went to the University of Minnesota, and then he went out to, I believe, California, but he might have also served as CO. I don't have any brother know, but he did have, he does have two brothers, Neil and David. And his mom and dad, Sister Renee and Brother Mike, were just as zealous and warm and friendly as Michael. His parents had a nursery school in their home, and his brother Mike was, I don't know, recall what happened to the father, but he was in a wheelchair for many years, but he took care of the food for the kids. Sister Renee had up to like 25 or 30 children every day in their daycare, but and opened up their home every Sunday for our class, and they, like I said, they were just warm and friendly and loving the truth, just like Michael did, so I thought that was important to tell. I believe Sister Renee maybe died 15, 20 years ago, I don't really recall, but like I said, they were a wonderful, warm family. Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Sister, for that faithful account.
John, I dear friends, Ken Humphreys, Phoenix, Arizona. I was just thinking about the, bringing up the old timers. And I remember Esther and John Paul very vividly. And Esther always supported John, always. And one thing about him that was interesting, there are very few in the truth that can just walk up to the platform and start talking. And John Hall was one of those kind, like Carl could. Same thing, just walk up there, might change the subject two or three times before he got up to the podium, but they always had that ability. And thinking about Esther, she went overseas many, many times, a very faithful trooper. It was a privilege for both Christy and I to have known so many of the old timers in the Los Angeles class. And when you look back now, my goodness, I remember at the memorial, there used to be 250 at the memorial in LA. And now, I don't know what they have, probably around 50 or 60, I'm not sure. Maybe more, I'm not sure, but you know, so many of them have gone before us. And I remember David's dad, Gilbert, when we were living in Oklahoma City, we sent an invitation to him, and he came, and I'm sure you remember this, David, his back was just killing him. And he was laying there on the floor with his feet up against the wall in our dining room leading the study because his back hurt him so bad. I mean, just faithful brethren all down through the ages. We're just very thankful to have known them and to be following them. I appreciate this gathering. I appreciate each and every one of you here. It's an effort. I know it doesn't come easy, but I'm sure the Lord will reward all the efforts. Thank you.
Brother and Sister Humphrey reminds me of something that I think about quite often. In that we know in the scriptures it talks about the books. The books will be opened, the Lord's Lamb, the book. But I think that there's an account that's being written about every single one of our lives. Those who make their calling election sure will obviously be the ones that the books will ring loud and clear throughout the universe for all to realize how faithful and overcoming they were. And the angels that keep the account of each one of our lives that are called to that purpose, I believe is faithful to make sure they account for everything. So whether we're in public or whether we're in private, no matter what happens, our lives are being accounted for. And the remembrance is, as you reminded us of some of the faithful accounts of the brethren, all will be manifest for all to know.
Just from someone online. Please convey love to the brethren from Brother Ken Allison.
Thank you, Brother Allison. Glad that you're with us online. And for those of that aren't mentioned yet online, we're thankful that y'all are here as well.
Brother Rick Evans from Fresno, I have a scripture from our class, who are Judy Smith and Tom Belton and Sue Tellier, who got a little smaller. Time was going on. And this is John 3:16. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Since everybody's kind of sharing stories about Michael, Elsa and I have a little story, and she might want to add to it. But I have no interest in the truth. My father had witnessed to me some back in Virginia, and that was good, but that was religion, and that was not something for a young, manly man who was going around enjoying the world. And when I moved out here to California and decided I was going to marry this wonderful young lady, we needed somebody to marry us. And her parents had thought they could get a federal judge who was a friend of theirs to marry us, and found out that federal judges cannot marry people. And her mother says, "Well, Rick, your father's a religious person. Why don't you go ask him?" And so I went and asked my father and said, "We need somebody to marry us. What can we do?" And we were living in Fresno at that time. And he said, "Well, there's this person who's coming up to the Fresno Ecclesia. His name is Michael Nakora, and he's serving the Ecclesia up there. Why don't you go to their class meeting on Wednesday night, I think it was, or it was a Sunday, and meet him and ask him if he'll marry you, because he has the ability to do that." And so we went to class,
to Tisha's house,
Tish Becker, who is another one who's just recently passed away in our Ecclesia, and met Michael. And Michael very graciously said, "I'd be glad to marry you." Well, it introduced me to the Fresno class, and I started to attend the Fresno class, and here I am today. So it was kind of Michael happening to be there at the right time, which got me married, and at the same time married me to somebody else. But it was just a wonderful experience for us. So Michael's always been very special to us. And when we see him, he's always giving us fatherly advice. And he's just been a very special person for us. And so it's just, you know, it's one of those things, the little things people he's touched throughout his life that you don't even know about, and these little stories that come out, and they're just marvelous. I do want to mention love for my parents up in Vancouver, Washington, and also about the convention that it was kind of David's idea to do this. We attended the convention on the cruise convention from the Vancouver class up in British Columbia. Victoria, yes, thank you. And one of the comments that was made during the convention was, "This convention is so nice because it's kind of out of the box. It's not your standard convention." And I want to reiterate that this convention is so nice, this group right now, this little gathering that we have here, because it's a little bit out of the box. It's just a little bit different, and it just kind of makes it a little special to have an opportunity to do this. So this is, for us, nice to have gone to two conventions that are just a little bit out of the box.
Well, you mentioned the verse about God loving the so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. This came up in one of the internet studies not too long ago, because it seems to be a contradictory term, because we're told not to love the world, but yet we're to learn godly principles and be like God in his ways. So how can he love the world but tell us not to love the world? Well, brethren, this is the way about Scripture. When something seems contradictory, that means you need to look at it a little harder. You need to study it a little deeper, because more than likely there's a little message there that's precious. You see, God can love the world because God can see the future world as it will be. And now we know that God doesn't love the world the way it is and evil. He doesn't. So that's not a contradictory. It's a seeming contradictory. And another point that you brought up about our intertwining lives with Brother Nakora marrying you, we all touch each other's lives. We all touch each other's lives more pointedly than probably anybody in the world could touch our lives. So we need to be careful with each other. We need to help each other. We need to build each other up. We need to encourage each other. And we need to make sure that when our lives intertwine, that we don't somehow miss the point of whatever that intertwining was. Good, bad, or indifferent. There's always a lesson there to be learned. Anyone else? Well, we're saying that that's time, so thank you, dear brethren, for your testimonies and the loving memories that we had during it.
Thank you, Brother John, for your very pleasant leading of this meeting, and brethren, for all of your comments and testimonies and remembrances. We're going to close now with Brother John's choice of hymn 229. Hymn 229. When we resume after dinner, this is an early dinner, but on the other hand, it could be considered late because, you know, you didn't have lunch. We resume at 5:30, and Brother Rick Evans will be our speaker at that time, and Brother Lee Hicks will be our chairman at that time. So please report early, make it easy for the chairman. Hymn 229. To close our meeting with prayer and to ask the Lord's blessing and thanks for our meal to follow.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we could come together to express our joys and our words of kindness one to another and memories of each other, that we may be pleasing unto Thee in whatever that we do. May our hands and our feet, dear Heavenly Father, find Thy work and the opportunities that You give us. No matter how grand or how simple it may be, may we take that opportunity to be who You want us to be in each moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the food that You always provide us, mostly the spiritual food which is unto our minds for the greater purpose. But dear Heavenly Father, we have need for that now as we supply the nourishment for our bodies that we may be used in Thy service. In Jesus' name we pray and hope always. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. Thank you for your nice comments and good spirit.